Okay, so I really want to thank the organizer for inviting me. I'm not astrophysicist, so I'm dealing basically with fundamental plasma physics, and mainly when I do an application, it's to inertial fusion. So I hope this will be useful to you. I wish first to emphasize the kind of system I will consider. I'm going to talk about relativistic beam plasma instabilities. Then the formalism, and you will see that I will present a unifying picture of almost all the zoo of instabilities you've heard about since the beginning of the conference. Then focus on this electron beam plasma interaction without B0, then the proton beam, this cosmic rays that we hear about. You have many papers written of on these typical settings, and then reach my conclusion. So in everything I'm going to say, of course, if you want to do analytical theory, you need to simplify as much as you can. So the beam plasma system is always infinite, homogeneous, collisionless, initially current and charge neutral, magnetized or not. And we just focus on the linear evolution. And setting a numerus, you can have all these proton background with electron beam and return current, proton background, cosmic rays and co-moving electrons, collision of two plasma slabs, collision of pair plasma, etc., etc. This is the most investigated so far from the basic physics point of view because of its role in a fast ignition scenario as well for inertial continuum fusion. Another interest of this system is that as long as protons can be considered as fixed, infinitely heavy, and you have no B0, these three are equivalent. It gives a reason to start with this one. So what is the basic formalism? Well, you know, you have an equilibrium and you just perturbate it. So, and you can choose the way you perturbate your equilibrium. You can perturbate along the flow, and so you will recover two stream, Bunnemann, Bell instabilities, and so on, yes, unfortunately, so on. And you can also perturbate in the perp direction, and you recover a Weibull that I usually call fermentation, but here we stick to Weibull. And there's also, unfortunately, even more, because a real-world perturbation doesn't choose an easy alignment. It will be a sum, infinite sum of all orientations of every kind of perturbations. And so you also need to consider these wave vectors. So you start from Virasoro-Maxwell system, linearized. You add the perturbations proportional to this, with K having at least a parallel and perp component. You get out with the Dirichlet tensor, and the determinant of these things will give you all the unstable mode. The advantage of this approach is that you're sure you recover every possible single unstable mode. You're not going to forget to bypass any single one. So about the dispersion equation, its general form is this. Within the kinetic formalism, any tensor element are written under sum here among all the species. So here you have two species, but you can have 10. And you see that if you really want to tackle the relativistic regime, technically, I won't enter much into details, but technically, the gamma here gives you hard time because it couples the integration along the three directions, and so there's no way you can separate the integrals. You need to take care of everything at once. So I start with this. Now let's see what comes out of this. So I start with this simple system, no B0, and everyone is called. Distribution function are Dirac deltas. So this one moves, these guys are moving in the other way, and proton don't move. So the spectrum of the Dirichlet tensor writes like this. Yes, something like this. And here is the spectrum you can calculate if you look at every possible wave vectors. So the beam goes this way, this is the K parallel K perp. You see it's normalized to the skin depth of the plasma. You see here the well-known two-stream profile of the two-stream instability. Here you see the profile of the Weibull instability, and if you look at everything in between, you find this surface. So here the beam is diluted, and we are weakly relativistic. And if you, this result, this gamma B scaling, gamma B is the Lorentz factor of the beam, are known for now 40 years. Like always, you have an old Russian papers with this inside. But you see that the Lorentz factor scaling is in this regime favorable to these oblique modes. So now comes the question, since I have just two free parameters, the Lorentz factor of the beam and the beam to plasma density ratio, which mode is winning the linear race in terms of the parameters? And here's the answer. For as soon as you below 0.5 here, the true number is 0.53, it's not that important, these oblique modes here are going to govern your system. And now if you have two electron beam crossing of roughly equal densities, Weibull is going to win. Let me just stress that this gap is getting thinner and thinner as you get more and more relativistic. Now, what if you put a little temperature in it? So I stick to my simple system. And for reasons I won't mention right now, a big issue for these instabilities, for this spectrum, is the beam temperature. So, and here I show a calculation that gives correct qualitative results, but we replaced this kind of distribution function for the beam and the plasma by these kinds, just to speed up a little bit the calculation. You switch from 10 seconds to 3 weeks of CP. So here I'm just going to gradually increase the beam velocity spread, and you see what's going to happen. You see that Weibull doesn't like at all hot beams. We are just 0.2, 20% of the velocity spread of C. And at the end, we recover this kind of spectrum, which, as far as I know, appeared for the first time, is this BAP of Ruiz Silva. And so you see that beam temperature first stabilizes. If you push a little bit temperature, you can cancel completely the Weibull modes, not just lower them. But first stabilizes Weibull and modes with K-perp larger than K-parallel. And these guys over there, they are almost as unstable as they were in the first place. So now there's been some peak confirmation when you just run a peak and you measure the spectrum out of the peak of this kind of spectrum. Dickmann, Gremier, Fredriksen, Kong recently, all in POP. This is the theoretical spectrum. This is the spectrum calculated from the peak. Now, let's turn to the kinetics regime. I mean, I'm still with my simple electron beam passing through a plasma. And now, the both electron population I describe by this Maxwell-Jutner distribution function. And so I can push the temperature as much. So I have now two more parameters, beam temperature and plasma temperature. And now you will find this kind of spectrum. So the beam goes this way. Again, you have the same units here. And here I'm going to show you which kind of patterns are generated by each kind of modes when they are dominant. So here you have the two stream modes. If they were dominant, like such like it's not the case in this picture, but you will have, the beam goes this way, you have stripes orthogonal to the different direction of the beam, kind of classical. When Weibull modes are dominant, you recover these famous filaments. And oblique modes, which I spent much time on because they have been quite overlooked, you will have kind of a mix of two preceding. So in this particular, I don't remember the parameters used for this picture, but in this particular case, oblique modes are winning. And these are just a picture extracted from peak simulations run with parameters adapted so that each mode dominates. Now, I come back to this problem of hierarchy of the various modes because we first answered the question in the cold regime. Now I have two more parameters. So I just use this as the floor and add a third dimension. And I'm going to explain a little bit this. The third dimension now is the beam temperature. So you see it's in Kelvin. And once the plasma temperature has been fixed, here 5 Kelvin, the graph is universal. You don't have any parameters left. So if you consider one system given by a beam to plasma density ratio, a Lorentz factor, a beam temperature, and the plasma temperature, you find a point in this phase space, and the location of the point tells you which mode will be governing the system. So you see that a non-relativistic world is boring. Two stream always win behind this world here. While boring stability governs behind this limit, so we recover this tendency of Weibull to dominate in the high, in the region of high beam to plasma density ratio. But you see that since Weibull doesn't like hot beams, you can always heat the beam enough in order to get out of this region. And there is a curiosity here in this corner. The two surfaces almost make contact, and so you have a triple point, a point of the just one on the parameter phase space where all three modes grow exactly the same rate. Now, what does it mean for shock physics context? In the first step of the shock formation, when you have shell colliding, assuming the shell are not necessarily exactly the same density, but comparable density shells, you should be in this region. And so Weibull mode governs the system for high enough beam to plasma density ratio. Otherwise, these obliques, which govern all the rest, should be the leading one. Guy Pelletier called them oblique to stream instability, but these are the same. Now, in the particle acceleration phase, when particles escape from the shock, if we assume that this forms a beam diluted with respect to the upstream media, we should be there. Now, growth rate scaling for the oblique modes, because the two stream modes have been widely investigated, Weibull mode as well, but so far they were not kinetic scaling in terms of the temperature parameters for these oblique mode, which deals with all these regions here. So first, let me stress that it's relevant to consider these limits, because if you start from this point, you can consider any limit you want, you stay inside the oblique region. So it's relevant. And one thing interesting is that these oblique modes are really similar to the two-stream ones. Here you have the kinetic scaling of the two-stream and oblique instabilities in terms of the beam temperature, the Lorentz factor, and the beam to plasma density ratio. And you see that the scaling are the same, except from the Lorentz factor, which is why oblique wins against two-stream when you're getting relativistic. And also, you have the same transition from a one-third regime to just a one, for a one regime here, in terms of this criterion from transition to the fluid regime, to the kinetic regime for these oblique modes. So now I'm done with the oblique modes, and I'm done with my electron beam. And if you look at it, I thought it would be interested to present the result of this unifying approach for this kind of system, which is, after all, I feel much more relevant for this group. So I choose some parameters. It's not a parametric study, although it's possible to extract from this analytical data some parametric study. So here I have a proton beam, which plays the role of the cosmic rays. I have a background of protons. Everyone is allowed to move. I have a magnetic field with half n speed divided by beam velocity of 1 upon 20. I have co-moving electrons neutralizing everyone at equilibrium. And the mass ratio is 100. So before turning to, before showing the whole 2D unstable spectrum, I first focus on the flow-aligned wave vectors. So the tensor simplifies a little bit here. You see you have hopefully some zeros, and so when you compute the determinant, you're happy about having zeros. And these guys here are going to give you these Alvin-Bell, they've been called both ways, these Bell mods here, so non-resonant, resonant. So this part of the spectrum gives you this. And this part of the spectrum gives you these two electrostatic modes. So here you have two stream modes arising from the interaction of the proton beam with the background protons, and here you have Bundmann modes arising from the action of the these protons with the electrons. And so various remark here. First, if you want to have your own mode, you better change of topic because there's no room left here for any non-baptized mode. Bell as the last one. And it's really interesting because you have this huge gap. The unstable spectrum extends over here 6 orders of magnitude. If you want multi-scale turbulence, well, you have it. A remark may be relevant for peak simulations. Let's say that if you peak simulation, you can resolve just 3 orders of magnitude, or you can also resolve a limited time range. Then I guess you will have to choose where to put your window in order to resolve what you want. And it could be an interesting discussion to find out what happened to this mode when these really small ones are getting excited. Now, if you turn to the 2D spectrum, so here I recall the preceding graph, and you can see what these guys are becoming when you start looking at oblique wave vectors. So you see that this had been calculated by Tony Bell, that these modes, they lose their power when you turn inside the Fourier spectrum. The bells were there here, this here. These are the Bundmann. I cut here, but they keep on growing a little bit. As here I just plot the largest gross wedge for a given K, I don't see the two streams here because they are just under. And now you see what there is in the oblique direction. So here you have these oblique modes, which, by the way, are just the two streams, but the two streams are getting more excited as they get oblique. And here you have Weibull, so you see you have everything at once on the same graph. So I've reached my conclusion. These instabilities are relevant for shock formation and particle acceleration. The simple system, NOBI zero fix science, has been analyzed thoroughly, and yes, even now in a kinetic regime, the calculation has been conducted exactly. In the phase of the shock formation, I think Weibull or oblique should be dominant, which doesn't mean that you don't have Weibull, because everyone grows at once. And the particular acceleration phase, oblique mode should have a role. And when you turn to a system with a cosmic rays, where the spectrum gets really rich, multi-scale, and you have a mix of excited electrostatic instabilities and electromagnetic instabilities. So thank you very much.
Yes, do you actually produce a particle spectrum for particle acceleration?
No.
Is there a reason? I guess you get the particle acceleration, correct? Or?
No, I'm just conducting the analytical calculation of the instability, the unstable spectrum.
In the peak simulations, do they come out?
I don't do peak.
This is just a little question about the water bag model. So when you have these flat top distribution functions, you don't have a slope. So there can't be any Landau damping type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Is that a problem?
Yes. I think that's why it's okay to get a qualitative grasp of what is going on. But the realistic picture comes with the Maxwell-Jochner, definitely.
Okay. Thank you for the excellent overview of this instability that are biting us all the time. One comment about the pick. I really wish our window was flying over these orders of magnitude. Unfortunately, our right boundary of that flying window is stuck in the plasma scale. We have to resolve the skin depth. Uh-huh. So all we can do is to cram your left corner into this blue when it hits the right wall. We yeah. basically have to resolve the smallest scale that's available in the plasma.
Okay.
And well, we have to resolve that right there. Yes. And the question. So you showed one magnetization. Have you studied increasing magnetization, and how does it saturate various instabilities like Weibull? And is there cutoffs in that you find at higher magnetization?
So far I don't know. You know, I didn't talk on the non-inner regime. Because there are partial results, which...
But even in the linear regime, even linearly, you will suppress some instabilities as a function of magnetic field, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, for example, you lower Weibull.
Yeah.
With such a magnetic field, flow aligned, I don't know, remember exactly what you do to these. I think the top here doesn't move if you increase the B. Now you can do what you want with the B. These two are not moving anyhow because they are electrostatic and they have the electrons moving along the B. So you can have everything you want here. These two peaks are not going to move. Now this part of the spectrum, yeah, is going to move. I didn't want to put all the scaling because what's the good news here is
right, but this is parallel, so you don't have Weibull here.
Yeah, it's parallel.
Right,
oh.
So if you look at transverse direction, then the Weibull will be suppressed
yeah,
at higher.
Yeah, there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you push a little bit B0, yeah, this is going to die.
In the case where you have cosmic rays, it's a beautiful analysis, but did I understand you correctly that you get a lot of small-scale electrostatic modes becoming unstable?
Yeah.
Which presumably means that you then would, in fact, in a real system, get significant electron heating as well.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yes?
Coming back to the
with the moving.
How the picture would change if you... First of all, are you assuming something for the temperature of the
particle? Here we are cold.
So how does that plot would change if you put like a temperature comparable to the alpha velocity of the background plasma or something
it
like that?
It depends on who you're heating. If you're heating the background proton, the Budman doesn't like it. After you have plenty of temperature effect, if you hit the beam, two stream is not going to notice a little bit, but if you hit the plasma, two stream is going to feel it. And on the next one, with Weibull, it's been chosen by people from Bochum and myself. When you have a hot plasma and a hot beam, on Weibull, you can have crazy effect, especially if you start to say, okay, the plasma may be anisotropic, and you can have really crazy effect between the Weibull stability of the plasma, which interfere with the Weibull stability. It becomes quite messy. So I can give a really straightforward, simple answer.
Oh, yeah. So we had Guy and I had a question. do you excite Whistler waves, or is this a wrong orientation of the field?
Here, as far as I checked, Whistler waves are stable. I don't find destabilized with slow wave. Guy told me he found them when the B0 is perp.
Whistler waves are stable if the beam is aligned with the magnetic field. And in my case, the magnetic field was transverse. And because the beam propagates into a very short scale compared to the Lama radius, it's almost a beam, a linear beam instability, but with other resonance than the usual cyclotron resonance. So it's a very specific situation for exciting instabilities.
I guess you probably would be able to destabilize the Whistler if the distribution function will not be isotropic of the electrons.
I don't know. Maybe. It's true that added temperature first is going to add new branches. Because well, each time you add an ingredient to the recipe, you add new vibration mode and you potentially destabilize them. So the zoo gets enlarged. And if it's even worse if you add anisotropic temperatures. Because kinetic, for example, the initial Weibull, it's just a plasma alone in the dark, no one touches him. But he is anisotropic and is unstable. And so you can have situations, for example, when a Weibull unstable beam filaments entering a Weibull unstable plasma. So you may have everything you wish.
And also in the context of increasing the zoo, people also did some kappa functions, some tail functions, instead of Maxwellian. So you can write beautifully equations and analytically, and sometimes it's more realistic.
Thank you.
Just a reminder that in addition to the reception right now, we have another poster session, so please come back and look at posters. Thank you.
So you're looking at the growth rate, right?